Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Career 360, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, the ever-changing context of the world has shed light on the widening gap between the current leadership development practices and the skills the pipeline of Asian leaders need to navigate the challenges of the future. The need for refreshed leadership development is more pronounced than ever, but how different is it for Asian leaders versus leaders from other regions? We find out from Elissa Malice, who is Managing Director and Vice President for Asia Pacific at the Center for Creative Leadership. They just launched a new research report, their second, Developing Future Fluent Asian Leaders, Myths We Must Debunk. Elissa, thanks for joining us today. Hope you're keeping safe.
Thanks, Howie. Great to be here again.
Always nice to speak with you. So before we can debunk them, let's find out what those myths are surrounding leadership development for Asian leaders.
So we actually surveyed 248 human resource leaders across Asia, and we uncovered these myths or false beliefs that are holding back leadership development and holding back the development of what we at Center for Creative Leadership call future fluent Asian leaders. And I'm not going to touch on all seven. People can read the report, but I want to touch on a couple.
Okay.
One that was coming in as top two, 41% of respondents selected this. The myth is that leadership development efforts should primarily focus on top-level executive teams who do the strategic thinking. And, you know, here in Asia, the majority of the time, the resources for leadership development do go for senior executives and very select high potentials, you know, less than 4% of the population. But it's really the frontline and the mid-level managers who are influencing 80% of the workforce. And so the reality that we see is that leadership skills are needed earlier on for young leaders to successfully navigate what's a more turbulent, agile, less predictable environment. And they really need more courage, empathy, agility, multidimensional thinking earlier on in their career, what we call COVID combat capabilities in another study recently, amid all of this. So they need this earlier on, which means the organizations really need to be investing more broadly. But typically the issue is budgets.
The lack of it, or that it be too small and they can't focus on, say, somebody with potential early on to develop them, in this area.
Yeah, and so leadership development has been quite traditional, unfortunately relying predominantly on face-to-face classroom learning, coaching, traditional assessments, very expensive. So the approach has been focus on a few. But we believe with what's happening in the world, we need to democratize leadership development so more leaders can benefit. And that's very much true in Asia. And so to do that, you need to have a more compelling strategy, more relevant content, and most importantly, more efficient delivery methods to use newest digital approaches. And, you know, for a couple of years, we've been talking about personal leadership or personal learning clouds. Well, now actually COVID is accelerating. I think we're going through, in the leadership development world, changes that we expected to take years happen in just a few months.
So that's the one myth that you've highlighted, that leadership development efforts should primarily focus on top-level executives. Are there a few others maybe you could highlight for us?
Yeah, so another one that is very relevant to what I was talking about is that online and digital learning is less effective than classroom learning. And while COVID has come like a wrecking ball to show us, and we had a quote from one leader, when we look back in a few years' time, online leadership development will be viewed in two eras, pre-COVID and post. So I can tell you, Howie, in the last 6 months, we've had many face-to-face leadership development journeys from simple to very complex simulations, from senior level to manager level, move completely online. And these are journeys that clients considered impossible for us to run online. And across CCL globally, not just in Asia, we've collected and analyzed data from thousands of participants. And the exciting thing to see is that satisfaction is nearly the same as face-to-face. More importantly, metrics on learning effectiveness and being able to apply learning, because there's a couple of advantages here. First of all, collaborating and learning from colleagues across the globe becomes easier. We can bring people together. Experts from across the world, they don't always need to fly in now, right? And also, we can stretch the learning out over time, which we've always known is going to give you better behavioral shift than packing the learning into 5 days in the classroom, for example. Of course, the one thing that everyone tells us they miss is the drinks and the networking and the socializing.
Okay.
But I think in the future, we can try to take the best of what COVID is teaching us. You could still get people together for pockets of that networking and socializing and continue to spread some of the other components, because that way people can apply it more in the workplace.
I'd like to touch on one, though, that perhaps you might not have wanted to highlight, but there's one that says a myth, that is, that you need to attend only leadership courses to make you a better leader. But actually, to maximize impact, you must learn outside of classrooms as well. Learn what exactly, Elissa?
Well, this is, I think, going back to CCL's history for decades, that the 70-20-10 rule, we know that 70% of the learning happens back in the workplace. And this is, when we talk about the personal learning clouds, we see leadership development needs to evolve, where in the classroom sessions, you take something and then you're really able to apply it through action learning, through immersions, through coaching. One example is, with the coaching in the future, we should have an option where you can either, set up an appointment with your coach, chat with your coach, or talk with our leader bot, Ella. We have a new leader bot in CCL. And, you know, I think for digital natives, their leadership journey will be much more of a journey, diverse and weaved into their day-to-day work. So that's sort of taking it out of the classroom and into the real workplace challenges, the real day-to-day. That's what we want to see much more of.
All right. So what might some of the challenges be to turn some of these myths around? Obviously, the one about digital and online learning, that's been turned on its head already. But some of the other ones, like, for example, this one where you should be learning outside of the classroom, or you can learn things outside of a classroom as well, or the one you touched on where it should only be top-level executives that go through training.
Yeah, and just I'm mentioning one more that's very important, I think, for Asia, and it was one of the top two. Asian leaders are harder to develop to take on senior global leadership roles. And the reality for our global Asian leader research, those who have seen it, is that often the biggest stumbling block, bigger than the individual capability gap, is the organizational context. And so when we look at the things holding these Asian leaders back, it's the country context, depending where they are, company context, individual context. So if we really want to address this one, we know cross-border rotation, non-obvious career moves, being able to expand global business savvy. Early evidence shows us COVID actually may open more opportunities for leaders to land regional and global roles without having to move here in Asia. So that's, I think, an interesting twist.
Right.
But what do we need to balance? I think for that one, we need to move further in having these programs be Asianized yet global. So now it's a lot about a balancing act in the new world. So
what does Asianized mean, though, Elissa? I don't suppose it's just about language, right?
Absolutely. It's where we would take a leadership program and completely contextualize it, make it very relevant, or you would keep a homogenous program centrally controlled from the headquarters, often in the U.S. or Europe, and the program would be the same around the world. What we see is that now it's really more about the right balance of how can we take a program, keep those global threads, yet still contextualize it so it's more relevant in the challenges that we're facing here in Asia. So that's one of the type of balancing acts that we think are amplified and where we really need to fast forward our approaches.
Also from the survey, you found that over 50% of Asian HR leaders feel that one of the biggest development challenges or leadership development challenges is that leaders convert their classroom learning to behavioral changes. Talk us through that one.
I think, as I said before, you know, getting the learning out of the classroom back into work is tough. This approach now, again, where we're spreading learning out makes it more possible. So you learn a little bit rather than learning everything in, let's say, a block of 5 days. And I think high-tech human touch, which is another one of the paradoxes that we highlight, is going to be important here. So if the purpose of technology is to benefit humanity, as leaders, we need to figure out more ways to get more from technology while not compromising the human touch. For leaders, it's all about managing people. And right now we know, for example, mental health issues, depression, burnout have skyrocketed. So how can we take the learning, spread it out, and really continue to touch people experientially, emotionally. And we have a couple new programs in CCL. One is called Burn Bright, addressing this issue with mental health. Also, we need to find new approaches to maintain human touch and have even better conversations in a virtual world. And that's a tall order. We're seeing, though, that with focused attention, this is an area many leaders can improve on.
Also, talk us through briefly what the five paradoxes HR must manage in order to drive this future fluent development.
Yeah, I've mentioned a couple. So Asianized yet global is one. Yeah. We have the high-tech high-tech human touch, high-tech high touch, we call it. The personalized yet scalable. So what I was talking about before, rather than a one-size-fits-all, here's your leadership journey, really being able to have, with the use of technology, something that adjusts to your needs. So you get to choose what kind of coach you're going to want, what kind of journey, what kind of path you're going to take, and it will be individual to you. In-house yet partner-centric, we see more and more partnerships between leadership development and tech companies, actually, as we move into this new world. And then while we still have classroom components, making learning very, very experiential. So those are five that you can read about more in the report.
And they certainly sound paradoxical, don't they? High touch, high tech. Huh? Elissa Mellis, Managing Director and Vice President of Asia Pacific at the Center for Creative Leadership. Elissa, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Howie.
This has been Career 360 on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.